A few days ago, I received one of the usual EDMs from Amazon recommending books. This time, they recommended a bunch of anti-racism books. There was one called How to Be Less Stupid About Race, another one called How to Be an Anti-Racist. Interesting that Amazon is sending this out at this time of George Floyd-related protests. To see whether Amazon is really serious about educating people, I clicked on the pages of each book, hoping to see that Amazon has made these books free. But it has not. These books are still between $7 and $15 each. That doesn't look like they are serious about making people anti-racist. I posted about this on Instagram. I don't normally call out brands for what they do wrong, but this time I made an exception because I didn't like how Amazon was using the George Floyd situation to sell more books. Clearly, Amazon saw my post and had an awakening. Because just a day later, there was a more welcome piece of news that Amazon was donating $10 million to pro-equality groups like the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, or NAACP. This was more like it from Amazon. This got me thinking, which are the brands that are actually doing something to tackle racism, and which are the brands that are only providing lip service? P&G has done a lot of anti-racism communication in recent years. The Talk was an Emmy-winning commercial in which a mother tells a daughter about all the ways she needs to stay safe every day while being black. The Look was a follow-up film about microaggressions, how blacks are greeted with subtle indications that they are not welcome in various places. P&G is also partnering with Queen Latifah for the Queen Collective, a collective of black women filmmakers. So I wanted to see what P&G does related to George Floyd, and I was happy to see that P&G is also donating $5 million to pro-equality charities. Nike is another brand that has the right to play in this space, since they have always been championing black athletes around the world, from Michael Jordan to Usain Bolt to Kylian Mbappe to Naomi Osaka. And after their Colin Kaepernick campaign, Nike was absolutely obliged to do something about George Floyd, and they did. With their usual partners Wieden and Kennedy, Nike launched a film called Don't Do It. They subverted their own tagline by saying, "For once, don't do it. Don't pretend there is not a problem in America. Don't turn your back on racism. Don't accept innocent lives being taken from us. Don't make any more excuses. Don't think this doesn't affect you. Don't sit back and be silent. Don't think you can't be part of the change. Let's all be part of the change." I felt this was one of the more thoughtful responses by brands. This felt like it wasn't just lip service, but a real rallying cry. What made it this way is the credibility Nike has built in relation to this cause over the years. What made it even better was that Adidas retweeted it. Reebok and New Balance soon added their voices to this conversation. Reebok said, "We are not asking you to buy our shoes. We are asking you to walk in someone else's." On the other hand, L'Oreal did a 2-minute video in which they said, "Speaking out is worth it. Every woman is worth it. No woman should be made to feel she is not worth it because of the color of her skin, yada, yada, yada." L'Oreal was immediately called out by people who reminded them that they had unceremoniously removed black transgender model Monroe Bergdorf from their roster of influencers in 2017 because she spoke out against racism. Some people were also quick to point out that L'Oreal continues to work with proven domestic abuse perpetrator Amber Heard even after she damaged the Me Too movement with false accusations against Johnny Depp when she was the one who threw objects at him and cut his finger. Clearly, L'Oreal didn't have the right track record in talking about racism or any other form of injustice. Something similar happened with Lucasfilm, the studio behind Star Wars. When they posted a usual boilerplate message about racism, they were immediately called out by fans who said Lucasfilm reduced black British actor John Boyega's prominence on Star Wars China posters based on the belief that the Chinese audience was not ready for major black characters. The message from fans to Lucasfilm was, You have principles as long as it makes you money. But when it gets in the way of making money from 1.4 billion people in China, that's where your principles end. Likewise, the most recent Star Wars movie had a shot featuring a same-sex couple, but that shot was removed in the version I watched in Singapore, and I heard it was removed in the Middle East too. Fans today are eagle-eyed and razor-sharp in picking out these kinds of discrepancies between talking the talk and walking the walk. McDonald's was criticized for an ad in which they listed black victims of police brutality by name. That's because McDonald's is one of the brands funding Republicans, and also because one of the names they mentioned among the victims was actually a criminal, which undermined the real victims mentioned in the same ad. Whereas Spotify was appreciated because they didn't just feature black artists on their platform on Blackout Tuesday, but they also donated $11 million to pro-equality organizations. The major learning from these two very different kinds of brand responses is that words need to be followed through with action. As every good tennis player or golfer will tell you, the follow-through is an extremely important part of a shot. If you've been following the world of marketing for the past couple of years, the name Mark Ritson will be familiar to you. He writes on Marketing Week in a direct, no-holds-barred style that doesn't care about political correctness. Most of the time, I agree with him. Recently, he called out brands like Nike, Adidas, Google, Apple, and L'Oreal for making statements about Black Lives Matter despite having zero black people in their senior management. He has a point, but before a company can hire and promote black people to senior management, they need to first increase the pool of qualified black candidates. To do this, they need to make better education and healthcare available to black neighborhoods. So many institutions in America have been loaded against the historically poor. Insurance is more expensive if you're poor. Credit cards are harsher on you if you're poor, as it means you're suspected of being prone to not paying on time. The housing sector has a practice called redlining, where poor neighborhoods are marked literally with red lines and neglected when it comes to banking, healthcare, and even supermarkets. Schools in poor neighborhoods are poorly funded because they are funded from property taxes in those same neighborhoods, which are quite a low amount. While all these things also affect poor whites, the fact that historical burdens place the majority of blacks in poverty has resulted in a cycle that's very hard to break. This is even before you consider that a black person, especially a black man, has a higher chance of being convicted for a crime he didn't commit or given an exorbitant sentence for crimes that are only moderately punished if committed by a white person. That's why the Amazon, P&G, Spotify approach of donating to organizations like the NAACP is the right way to go. Because these organizations actually tackle the issues pertaining to education, housing, and healthcare in predominantly black communities. One of the organizations both Amazon and P&G are donating to is the anachronistically named United Negro College Fund. Despite a name that sounds straight out of the 60s, this organization is doing a lot in terms of helping low-income African Americans find funding to go to college. Brands that donate to these organizations are doing much more than brands who hire a token black person for their board. Centuries of a system that is loaded against African Americans cannot be reversed by token gestures, and the more thoughtful brands understand this. There are a couple of responses by brands which I felt were a bit too extreme. Lego said they will no longer advertise police-themed toys. I felt this vilifies the police and denies the existence of the thousands of good cops out there. It is exactly what the villain of the Lego movie did to a cop character, where he erased the smiley face of the cop and retained only the frown face. Denying the existence of good cops is not going to do Lego any favors. Ben and Jerry's took on a provocative stance and said what happened to George Floyd is perpetrated by a culture of white supremacy and we must dismantle white supremacy. They said it was not a case of a bad apple, but the predictable consequence of a racist and prejudiced system and culture that has treated black bodies as the enemy from the beginning. They said white people need to collectively acknowledge their privilege and take responsibility for its past and the impact it has on the present. Though all of this is true, it comes across as a rant and an attempt to shame white allies into supporting the cause. As such, it is more likely to turn off white allies. But this is still better than a boilerplate response that expresses the same sadness every other brand is expressing. When brands first responded to COVID-19, the brainless first-level response was to space out their logos. There is an equivalent first-level response to Black Lives Matter, which is for people and brands to turn their profile pics into black squares. Congratulations for solving racism by changing your profile pics. Let's now see if posting pics of water helps bring clean drinking water to remote villages in Asia, Africa, and South America. But as time goes by, more brands are figuring out what actually makes a difference, which is to be in it for the long haul, to work with organizations who are working hard to reverse centuries of systemic oppression. This is not a trendjacking opportunity for brands. This is a chance to make the world better using the knowledge, wealth, and influence of brands. There's a lot to chew on for individuals and brands at this time. While we were still getting used to COVID, racism re-emerged as another pandemic. I'm wondering if 2020 is some sort of simulation experiment by Charlie Brooker to give him plots for the next season of Black Mirror. But I'm sure we'll figure things out. See you at the next podcast, and hope the world will be a better place by then.